Well, I would very much appreciate your prayers this morning. The Lord would bless His Word and would speak to our hearts what He'd have us to get a hold of. I felt like the Lord gave me this thought on my return trip home from India. He'd been talking to me about it, and we need His help. So if you would pray for us, we'll endeavor to bring forth what the Lord has given me. Written on the board, the words, coping with life. I'd like to begin in the book of Job. Job, the 14th chapter, says in the first verse, "Man that is born of a woman is a few days and full of trouble." Job was a man who knew something of trouble, was acquainted with it, had his share of it in life. Man that is born of woman encompasses every one of us. Not very long into life, and full of trouble. You ever had trouble in your life? Can any of you say that life has been just a bed of roses? It's been nothing but smooth sailing and sunshine and rainbows all along the way. I think that Job was a man who had some experience and knew something of what he was talking about. And every one of us have somewhat a different lot of life, different set of circumstances that we encounter and deal with. But there is something common through it all. We all live in this world. We all are affected by the effects of sin in this world. Thank the Lord Jesus came to deliver us from our sins, to set us free, to set our feet on a solid rock and a new path. But we are still affected by the consequences of sin in this world that has put its mark all around us. Death, pain, and suffering, and all of those sorts of things are thanks to sin. Thanks to the enemy and the god of this world. And whenever Adam and Eve succumbed to his suggestions and temptations, it plunged this world into sin. Well, there's a remedy for it, and I want to talk about how we deal with trouble. Whenever trouble comes our way in life, whatever that trouble looks like, it's sure to come. We're bound to experience some difficulties, setbacks, reverses, disappointments in life that'll come our way. Some expected, some will blindside us. What are we going to do whenever trouble besets us? Whenever we encounter adversity and difficulty, what does the word cope mean? To cope. A definition that I found from Webster. It says to deal with and attempt to overcome problems and difficulties. It comes from the Latin word that means to strike at. To maintain combat on even terms or with success. To cope is to, it's not to succumb, it's not giving up, it's not being overwhelmed or overrun or defeated. But the idea of coping is that I'm dealing with something, I'm engaged in a battle or in a struggle with adversity or with an opponent, and it may be that it seems like it's about equal footing. A military army maybe is coping with an adversary that they're trying to gain the victory over, but they're coping. They're dealing with it maybe on equal footing. You know, people, as an example, when it comes to adversities in life, people learn how to cope with difficulty in different ways. And I am convinced that man doesn't do a very good job of it without the Lord. Man's not able to cope very well without the Lord's help. Remember speaking to a man who I met out on the street here. I got to talking with him, and he was opening up about his life's troubles, and seemed like he was being, from what I could tell, pretty open and honest about his situation. He said, I'm homeless. I've been living in the homeless camp, the tent city down the road there, and I'm afraid for my life. Someone tried to take my life. And so as I talked with him, well, how are you in this situation? And he said, you know, at one point I had a family and children, and I went to church, and I don't want to get into all of it, but he said there were some really bad things that I allowed to happen, and it's put me on a bad course. And he said the things that I deal with on a daily basis, he said, I've learned to deal with it through alcohol. And he said, that's what I go to. And I'm an alcoholic, and I don't want to be. He said, but whenever things are so hard, I go to the bottle. And it's like I can get away from it for a little while. As I was talking to the man, I said, you know, Christ wants to be that for you. He wants to be your relief. He wants to be what you turn to cope with life. You don't have to turn to substances. You don't have to turn to the things of this world to try to lose yourself, to try to drown your sorrows and your heartaches and your misery. There is a way to cope with life. The Lord never promised, with salvation even, that it would result in a life that is free from trouble. Though the health, wealth, and prosperity gospel is a popular one today, it's not very scriptural. The Lord speaks so often of suffering and adversity and suffering with the Master. There's going to be hardship and reverses and adversity and setbacks in life. Jesus had to deal with them. But there is a way to cope. I want us to consider for a little while this morning, what do we turn to whenever we're anxious? Whenever we're stressed? When we're sad? When we're disappointed? When we're feeling depression? Whenever we're fearful, whenever we are insecure, yes, where do we turn? Because those of us who have that are here, I am sure would say, that's not my temptation, what that man's dealing with. I don't turn to the bottle. I don't turn to alcohol to try to drown my substances, and I pray that's the case. But you know, people learn how to cope. People develop coping mechanisms of how to cope with life in different ways. And I want us this morning, by the Lord's help, to be challenged to look within myself and my heart and my life to say, what are those tendencies that I find myself resorting to deal with some trouble? And again, I can look at it and say, well, I don't turn to the bottle. I don't turn to sinful things. But you know, we can turn to mannerisms. We can resort to habits. We can turn to ways of behaving that the Lord has not designed to be our coping mechanism. People many times will turn to the security of old habits, of old ways, of things that are familiar to them. I think probably, if I were to guess, most of us could say that we have dealt with or deal with some of these things that I've mentioned. You ever encounter stress in your life? Have you ever been disappointed by the outcome of something in life, or disappointed in somebody? You ever fought depression? You know that's a real thing. You ever found yourself fighting that? You ever feel those feelings of fear? You know, people deal with insecurities in a lot of different ways. What is our coping mechanism? What do we resort to whenever we face these kind of things? I'll give you another example. You know, we can turn to food as a coping mechanism. You ever hear stress eating? Or you ever find yourself stress eating? Not even hungry? And I'm not endeavoring to be harsh. I say pray for me. Because I've recognized places that subconsciously, without even thinking about it, I find myself engaging in, or maybe going to the pantry when I need to be going to my knees instead. Maybe wanting to pick up the phone and make a phone call when I need to pick up the word and talk to the Lord. Different ways that we can have of learning to cope with, learning to deal with some of these things that are commonplace in life. But I'd like for us to turn to 2 Chronicles. I'd like to read a scripture or two here. 2 Chronicles, the 15th chapter. Beginning of the first verse, the Spirit of the Lord came upon Azariah, the son of Oded. And he went out to meet Asa and said unto him, Hear ye me, Asa, and all Judah and Benjamin. The Lord is with you while ye be with him. And if ye seek him, he will be found of you. But if ye forsake him, he will forsake you. Now for a long season Israel had been without the true God, and without a teaching priest, and without law. But when they in their trouble did turn unto the Lord God of Israel, and sought him, he was found of them. Folks, it worked for them. At a time throughout a checkered history of Israel, times that they would forget the Lord and all his works, and would turn to the gods of this world and their ways, and then they would get into trouble and they would remember the Lord. And they would turn to the Lord and he would be found of them in their trouble and in their times of need. Folks, the Lord doesn't want us to go through those troughs where we forget about the Lord. We sang the song, something about, must I sin and confess every day? I've read within the Bible that there's a better way. The Lord has a way of victory for us today, and that is the gospel message, that there is a grace that exceeds the power of sin, that can work and rule and reign in our lives, that we need not be and must not be the servants of sin. You know, whenever we get into our times of trouble, in some of these things that I've talked about, stress, I've got it just too much on me, that seems like sometimes when it rains, it pours. One thing after another that just gets piled on my plate. How do I deal with that? What am I going to do with it? Whenever I'm feeling fearful about the future, or fearful about a situation, what am I going to do in that time? Whenever I'm feeling feelings of depression and a dark cloud of gloom trying to settle in over me, what am I going to do about that thing? The devil wants to suggest and offer coping mechanisms that are something besides what we just read here. Not even talking about going into sin. When someone backslides, that is the thing to do, to seek the Lord. To break up the fallow ground and seek the Lord until He rain righteousness. You know, we in our troubles from day to day have the privilege of turning to the Lord. And that's what I want to encourage us with this morning. We in our trouble should turn unto the Lord God, and He will be found of us if we seek after Him. The thing of the verse in Proverbs, maybe it's the third chapter, it said, well, let me get it, because I'm stumbling over the word trying to remember the order of it. The trusting in the Lord with all our heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. In all of our ways, however great or however small, to acknowledge the Lord. Sometimes whenever it's something that is so catastrophic that I know there's nothing I can do about this. Lord God, have mercy upon me. You know, the Lord wants us, even in the smaller things, even in the things that I've trained myself to cope with, to learn how to deal with, and I have ways of dealing with life myself. The Lord wants us to learn to lean on Him. The Lord wants us to learn how to turn to Him in that thing. Lord, you see how I'm feeling stressed. You see how this has tended to introduce a pattern of thinking and of behavior and of anxiety or of neglect or whatever it is. Lord, I don't want to turn to that. I don't want to go down that path. Lord, you see this thing that's happened. Lord, I've been hurt. And you see how I've tended to deal with hurts. Some people want to fight, and some people want to flight or run. But we need to turn to the Lord. Yeah. Not to resort to my own ways, to my own mannerisms, to my own coping mechanisms. Lord, I need you. Lord, here's another. In all of our ways, on a daily basis, learning how to live in dependence upon God. Learning how to bring to the Lord everything in prayer, the song says. Oh, what needless pain we bear. Or carry all because we do not bring everything to God in prayer. We have the privilege to bring it to the Lord. And the Lord, well, I'm kind of getting ahead of myself. So what are some of those coping mechanisms? You know, people turn to entertainment. There's a reason why entertainment is such a big industry in our world today. People turn to entertainment as an escape, as a release. If I can zone out and just completely, and I didn't know I'd go into all of this and I hadn't prepared or studied, but if you look at the definition of the word entertainment and where that comes from, people turn to that as a way of escape, as a way of disconnecting from reality. And I'm not saying, folks, we should enjoy life in a wholesome, godly way. That if I enjoy going out and fishing and I find enjoyment or entertainment with it, I'm not saying things in their proper place or playing some games together as family. But I'm talking about how we cope. How we cope with life. I don't want to have something that I turn to as a means of release, as a means of disconnecting from reality, and that becomes my turn to. That becomes what I absorb myself in to be able to get release for a while. I remember, harmless enough, I believe, and I felt at the time, I remember I had a little well, as a PDA at the time, dating myself some. Whenever I was in school and I was stressed and I had a little game on, a little Tetris or something. And I remember at times that I was so stressed out that I would put down the books, I can't do it anymore, and pull out this little Tetris game and spend an hour or more. You know, they have different levels. You can advance to the next level and all of that. And it has a way of pulling you in. Just transparency. Something as innocent as that I found myself turning to and absorbing myself in, that was consuming my time and my energy that I didn't have to consume on something like that. Again, I hope you understand that I'm not saying we can't play Tetris, but I want us to have the balance in life that we turn to the Lord for our help and for our release. So entertainment, social media. You know how much time social media absorbs of many people's lives? And it's a way that they can just like plunge in. And it can be an outlet for frustrations, offenses. It can become an outlet that the Lord wants to offer us a different outlet. That He wants us to turn to His book instead of Facebook. That He wants us to learn to depend on the Lord. To learn to turn to Him whenever I'm in need in life. Sometimes people grow up in less than ideal family environments. And you know, even from a young child, a child learns how to cope with adversity. If their parents are abusive, you'll see it in that child. That child learns how to cope maybe by withdrawing, by running, by closing off. A child, even from a young age, develops these coping mechanisms of how to deal with someone who is like that. How to deal with somebody in a situation like this, that we can carry into life with us. That can be a stumbling block to us. It can cause people, I've seen folks use humor as a way to mask what I knew was going on inside. A friend that I had growing up, I remember he had some deep hurts in his life. He was miserable. But whenever he was around most people, he was the most jovial, joking, humorous kind of person. That's how I cope. That's how I try to deal with what I'm feeling inside. Some people learn to cope with sarcasm, criticism, attacking other people. Withdrawing within myself. And that tends to be one that I've defaulted to in my life. Self-pity. These are things that can be so natural as coping mechanisms for us to turn to. But the Lord wants us to turn to the Lord. To learn to lean on Him in emotional needs, psychological needs that we have, to learn to turn to the Lord. And I believe there are a couple steps that the Lord brought to my mind. We need to recognize, and we need to replace.
I'm going to write those words.
I'd like to look at Proverbs, the 21st chapter, before we discuss that much more. Proverbs 21 and 2 says, "Every way of a man is right in his own eyes, but the Lord pondereth the hearts. You know, the Lord, we are dependent upon the Lord to be able to show us our ways, to be able to show me those things of my default, those things, those tendencies, those mannerisms, those things about me that sometimes can be so close fitting that I don't even recognize it about myself. Of ways that I've learned to cope with life. Of things that I've turned to or resorted to that I won't even identify about myself without the Lord's help. It seems so natural and it seems so right to act that way or to respond that way in this kind of a situation. I've learned to deal that way. But the Lord pondereth the hearts. And I believe that the Lord wants to help us to be able to recognize those places in our lives that maybe I've been turning to my own ways more than turning to the Lord for my help. I'd like to look at Psalms 19 as well. Psalms 19 and the 12th verse. Who can understand his errors? Cleanse thou me from secret faults. Keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then shall I be upright, and I shall be innocent from the great transgression. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. The song that we sang, Learning to Lean, said, what the Lord wants is a heart, simple childlike faith, and a heart that's learning to lean. You know, the Lord takes pleasure in a people that'll put their trust in Him. And as I've thought about that man that I was talking to and the alcohol and the tobacco and things that he would turn to be able to get release and enjoyment, I thought, you're robbing yourself and God. The Lord wants to be that for you. The Lord wants to fill that place in your life that's hollow, that's empty, that aches. And you know, the Lord wants to fill whatever places in our lives that feel hollow and that ache. The Lord wants to fill those places. And the Lord wants us to be able to see those places about myself that might hinder me from trusting in the Lord and finding that place of stability in the Lord that He has for me. I believe that the enemy is intent on stealing, killing, and destroying. Jesus said, the thief cometh not but for to do those things. To steal, to kill, and to destroy. But that's not the conclusive story. He said, but I have come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. You know, whenever adversities and troubles come in life, the enemy is there to try to introduce thought patterns, to try to introduce ways of thinking that will lead me down a path that is not wholesome and is not right. But the Lord would have us to be able to recognize those places, recognize where the enemy's trying to work, recognize when the enemy's trying to know that thing is self-pity right there. That's what I used to turn to cope. But I don't want, Lord, I need you. I need to seek, Lord, I'm feeling insecure here and it's making me act out in this way and that. Lord, I want to find my security in you. I want to find my identity in you. I want to turn to you for that. To be able to recognize those places in my life. To be able to identify when the devil's trying to start leading me down a path that is not good. Whenever I remember from times, know from my experience, times that I've dealt with feelings and thoughts of depression, there is a thought pattern that the enemy would try to bring to my mind that That there were times all I wanted to do was go in my room, close the curtains and the blinds, make it as dark as I could, get under the covers, put a pillow under my head, and I don't want to talk to anybody. You know, the Lord began showing me there's a better way to cope. There's a better way to deal with that. Turn to the Lord for your help. And this idea of coping, again, I mentioned to you the meaning of the word. It is to strike against. Coping is not capitulation. It is not just saying, oh, well, the enemy brought this thought. Oh, all right, I'll accept it. But it is to fight against. It is to strive against, to strive to gain the victory over. There's a song, Stand Up for Jesus. Some of the lyrics of that came to my mind. 271. Second verse, stand up for Jesus. The trumpet call, obey. Forth to the mighty conflict in this glorious day. Ye that are men now serve Him against unnumbered foes. Let courage rise with danger and strength to strength oppose. No matter what the enemy brings our way, no matter what curveballs life throw at us, you know, I don't believe after all that we are victims of consequence. We serve a mighty God. Amen. Joseph was not a victim of consequence. All the things that Joseph could have succumbed to, of bitterness and resentment and unforgiveness and lashing out at the jailer and at Pharaoh. But he turned to the Lord. And as he did that, the Lord was then able to work in those things to accomplish His purposes, His design, what He wanted. Oh Lord, help us to submit our ways to Him. Our tendencies. The things that I would just snap to, or the knee-jerk reactions that I would have, to step back and learn to lean. Learn to give those things unto the Lord. Strength to strength oppose. May courage rise with danger. Whatever comes our way, whatever setbacks, disappointments, adversities, difficulties that come our way, folks, we're going to have some courage. We're going to have to be willing to stand up against that thing, to recognize it, and say, I'm not going to succumb to that by God's grace and by His help. I'm not going down that path. I want the victory in this thing. Strength to strength, oppose that. So, I'd like to turn to Ephesians, the sixth chapter. I am thankful that the Bible teaches a way of victory. I'm so thankful that the message of the gospel is not, you become a Christian, you get saved, and you're still going to be the same person and live the same kind of way and commit the same kind of sins, but you're a Christian now. No, thank the Lord that the blood of Jesus works something better than that. And the Holy Spirit's working in our life gives us a power, and there is a cleansing over secret faults even and tendencies and our nature that the Lord works in our life that helps us to rise above those things, to gain victory over those things, that I don't have to just succumb just because my dad was that way, my grandpa was that way. Well, it's just a trait of the family. No, I can rise above those things through Jesus Christ and the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. But I want us to recognize what it's going to take. We're going to have to recognize those places that the enemy's trying to work with, and then replace it with God's way. Replace it with turning to the Lord. The scripture says, whatsoever things are pure and holy, if there be any virtue and true and honest, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on those things. The enemy wants to get my mind focusing on the fear and the anxiety and the depression and all of the insecurities and all of that. But I want to turn to the Lord's Word, to those things that are right and true and wholesome. So Ephesians, the sixth chapter, is says, speaking of our warfare, that we are equipped to be able to do battle against the enemy of our souls. I'd like to pick up here in the, well, let's start in the 10th. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. I'm going to tell you, the whole armor of God is better than the whole armor of Clint. Those things and ways that I've learned to defend and protect myself and cope with and deal with life, I want to take on the whole armor of God. It says that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. So whenever you've done everything that you know to do, and you're still fighting. You ever experience that? Again, the Bible teaches victory and overcoming, and I believe it. But I also don't believe it's always ramen noodle victory in a box. That you add water and heat it up and you got the victory. I believe that there are times that we're going to have to set ourselves, that we're going to have to be determined, that I'm going to say, you know what, no matter how long this battle lasts, by the grace of God, I'm going to fight and keep fighting and strength to strength oppose this thing. I'm not going to give in. I'm not going to succumb. I'm not going to accept this that the devil has, but I'm still fighting and he's still coming against me and he's still bombarding me. And I can get to thinking, what's wrong with me? Why can't I rise above this? What's wrong with me that I'm still struggling with it? Having done all, stand. Stand therefore. Folks, there is a place that we're going to have to set ourselves and stand until the Lord brings the victory. And that time will come. But I'm going to, it may be something that is so ingrained in me that I find myself, I find something rising up in me. Lord, I thought I had that thing taken care of, but I find it starting to rise up again. I'm still in the battle. Still keep standing. Keep recognizing. Keep replacing it. to be able to identify that thing and turn to the Lord. There's a scripture in Psalms I want to get. Psalms 144th chapter. Blessed be the Lord my strength, which teacheth my hands to war and my fingers to fight. You know how you learn to do battle against the enemy of our souls? Well, you read about it, but then you go put it into practice. And just like you're learning on the job or learning a new trade or a new skill, you can sit in the classroom and read the book about it and say, I got it down pat. But if you're going to learn how to fly, they're going to put you in the cockpit and say, now go put into practice what you read about. And now you go experience for yourself whenever these things you've read about and now it's really happening. Now what are you going to do? Go put it into practice. So in our lives, we feed on the Word of God and absorb the Word of God, and the Lord gives us a battle and a test and says, now put it to practice. Now use that weapon I just taught you about. And we learn to fight. He teaches our hands to war. Our warfare is not carnal, but it's mighty through God. It's not against people. It's not against my neighbor. It's not against my boss. The enemy wants to try to put a face and a name, but I'm fighting a spiritual warfare. And it doesn't matter how unfair life is at times. Lord, I'm going to answer to you for my attitude. Lord, I'm going to answer to you for what's going on inside my heart. And Lord, I want the victory. I want to be able to rise above these things that are coming my way. Oh, the Lord will teach our hands to war and our fingers to fight. My goodness and my fortress, my high tower and my deliverer, my shield, and he in whom I trust, who subdueth my people under me. Oh, thank the Lord that he is our shield. Lift up the shield. Resort to the Lord. It makes me think of the 71st Psalm. Psalm 71. In thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. Let me never be put to confusion. Oh, the world may turn to the bottle. They may turn to the screen. They may turn to the stadium. They may turn to all kinds of different ways and mannerisms. We don't need the psychology. We don't need the world's ways. We need God's ways. Lord, in thee do I put my trust. Lord, you're going to be the one that brings me through this and out of this. Deliver me in thy righteousness and cause me to escape. Incline thine ear unto me and save me. Be thou my strong habitation, whereunto I, how frequently? Whereunto I may continually resort, that I continually go to the Lord in prayer and with my burdens. And Lord, no, that thought's from the Lord. I need your help. Lord, here's this tenant, this thing that I see trying to rise up again. Lord, I need your grace and I need your help. Don't wait until Sunday. Go to the Lord in prayer. Don't wait until evening devotions. Go to the Lord in prayer. Continually we can resort to the Lord and put our trust in him. Thou hast given commandment to save me, for thou art my rock and my fortress. Verse 5 says, thou art my hope, O Lord God. Thou art my trust from my youth. O Lord, help us to learn to lean, to learn to turn to the Lord. There is no better coping mechanism than the Lord God Almighty. And for us to learn to turn to him in every one of life's troubles and problems and adversities and setbacks. Sometimes in battle, back to the thought of we might be engaged in a battle for quite some time. There might be propensities or weaknesses that I have myself. That is my battle. It seems like over and over. Don't get discouraged. Don't give up. Continually go to the Lord. Resort to the Lord. Turn to the Lord. You know, in a war, there are many battles. You know, in a battle, there are many skirmishes. You know, in those skirmishes, there are a lot of maneuvers. And Lord, help us to be able to recognize we're going to be fighting in the army of the Lord until we die. We might as well set ourselves. The enemy is going to be opposing us until we draw our final breath. Let's not be discouraged when I have another battle that I'm fighting. What's wrong? What's wrong? There's still a devil. The devil's still opposing. The devil's still coming against us. But there's victory. Hold on, my child. He says there's victory. And if we'll stand and set ourselves and allow the Lord to retrain those ruts that we can develop in our mannerisms, call it personality, those things that I have trained myself to default to turn to resort to. If I can allow the Lord to reteach my hands how to war, to teach my mind how to think. I believe the Lord has great and lasting victories for us. That he can help us to cope with the troubles of this life that are sure to beset us or to come against us. The Lord can be our coping mechanism. The one that we turn to. That gets us through time and time and time again. And I believe if we'll be faithful, we'll get to the end of the way and hear him say, well done. and have to say, Lord, it was you all the way. Lord, you brought me through that one, and you brought me through that. And I didn't even realize right there how much danger I was in. And I didn't even know, but Lord, you brought me through with victory. Let's keep the goal in sight. Never give up, never give in, but continually resort unto the Lord to be able to cope with life, to be able to deal with and rise above those things in life that would come against us. You pray for me. I want to be faithful to the Lord. Amen.